What does the Bible say about vain religion? Did you know that it is possible for one to profess a vain religion? I invite your attention to this text of Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Jesus said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." In this text, Jesus classified some religious people as vain worshipers. We think of religion as a profession of a relationship with God. There may be a true relationship with God, and there may be an empty, vain, or wrong relationship to God. There is a true religion, and there is a false religion, according to Jesus. Yes, there is a true religion, a right religion. This religion is based upon divine truth. It operates in full and beautiful harmony with the Bible. It succeeds in binding men and women and bringing them back to God in unison and in fellowship with God. But usually, when there is something real and of deep value, there will be attempts to copy it with a counterfeit. This happens all the time in the realm of the secular. Counterfeit money is a good example. It happens too frequently in the realm of religion. A vain religion is a counterfeit religion. It is empty. It is not the real thing. It will not save souls. It will not bring real peace of mind to the human heart. Vain religion, though mentioned in the Bible, stands condemned from one part of the Bible to the other. Because many honest people practice a vain religion, it is worth our time and effort to make a diligent study of this subject. I surely do not want my religion to be in vain, and I know that you do not want your religion to be in vain. The only way to avoid such is to know what constitutes vain religion and how to avoid it. Since vain religion will not save, we surely do not want to embrace that which will destroy the soul, which a gracious God hath bequeathed to each of us. The scribes and Pharisees of the first century were mentioned with great deal of prominence. It was an infamous kind of prominence, often revealed upon the pages of the New Testament. They were the men-pleasers of their day. They desired the public eye to be upon them in the various activities of their religious practices. This will be observed throughout their biblical identity. They had worked out an elaborate system in which they sought to impress the common people by pretended piety and external exhibition of religious show. Jesus discussed these matters in some detail in Matthew 6 as a part of this great Sermon on the Mount. He said they gave of their alms or contributions to charity in order to be seen of men. Jesus said they prayed in order to be seen of men. Quite frequently, they would engage in prayer in a place where the eyes could behold them. Our Lord was not condemning public prayer. He was condemning a pose of prayer in public in order to obtain the praise of men. Jesus said that what he saw did not please God. Furthermore, they frequently fasted, but they did it in such a fashion to let it be known of men. Jesus said that they would even disfigure their faces in order to let people know they were fasting. Three times in Matthew chapter 6, the Son of God said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In the entirety of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus unmasked their religious pretenses and showed them to be hypocrites, and they really were. He said in Matthew 23, verse 3, "They say, and do not." In Matthew 23, 5, he declared, "But all their works they do to be seen of men." Apparently, it never dawned upon them that a religion which expressed itself outwardly was not the religion that God approved, not that alone. They had either forgotten or else ignored that a religion which fails to touch and tender the human heart can never be acceptable unto God. These people who practiced the religion of vanity placed a premium upon human tradition more than upon divine authority. Yes, they were quite concerned about washing their hands before they ate meals. Had this been just an act of cleanliness and personal hygiene, the practice would have been highly commendable. However, they made a religious rite out of it, and found fault with the disciples of Jesus because they ignored it as a religious practice. The Bible stated in Matthew 15:1-2, "Then there came unto Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." The parallel account is found in Mark 7:2, which says, "And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault." This practice, to which they were tenaciously clinging, originated with the traditions of the elders, which were composed of humanly devised laws. The law of Moses, under which they lived, included no such requirement. And my friends, hear me. Are you listening? These people are making the same fatal mistake in religion that many people make today. One, they were seeking to make and bind laws that God did not make and bind. They were seeking to cling to partially divine law and partially human tradition. They had accepted a mixture of the two. Quite frequently, the two were in conflict, even as they are today. When there was a conflict in the first century between the divine ordinances and human tradition, the divine had to go unattended, while human traditions were practiced by vain religionists. It is still very much that way today. Many religious people today will not be offended when someone is destructively critical of the Bible. Yet these same people will go up in arms at a moment's notice if anyone criticizes their favorite human tradition. The scribes and Pharisees of Christ's day paid greater reverence to their human tradition than they did to the divine decrees of God. In fact, Jesus said they would defy God's law in order to keep their own tradition. Yes, they were very religious of a kind, but while they were championing the traditions of the elders, they were disregarding the commandment of God to obey and honor parents. This is what the Lord said. Are you listening? In Matthew 15:3-6, he said, "And he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, That wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is given to God, he shall not honor his father. And ye have made void the word of God because of your tradition." Here is how their vain religious system worked with regard to dishonoring parents. They had aged parents who needed their care. They possessed property, the use of which could be used to alleviate the poverty of their parents. They desired to escape the binding obligation. Hence, they simply said that what they had was pledged to God, that it belonged to Him. Then they felt no binding obligation to give any of it to their parents. Probably, they did not use it for God either, but retained it for themselves, and so do many people today. By so doing, they made void the law of God. This they did by keeping their own tradition. Theirs was truly a vain religion. It was an empty religion. It was of no value. My friends, vain religion leads inevitably to vain worship. Vain worship leads to a vain life. A vain life at death leaves one with an empty hope for the future. One may not espouse an empty religion and still possess a well-grounded hope that his soul may spend eternity in heaven. One cannot participate in vain worship and have a vibrant hope of heaven for eternity. One cannot be empty in life of spiritual values and expect to reap a full reward of heavenly happiness in the world to come. Beloved, it just doesn't work that way. Both Scripture and common sense attest to the accuracy and correctness of this observation. Let us consider what Jesus said in the text again. Remember, he said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." Matthew 15:7-9. Even in greater detail, Mark in the parallel passage says in Mark 7:6-13, "And he said unto them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as that doctrine the precepts of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men. My friends, here is the ultimate of following tradition. It makes void the law of God. It keeps one from worshiping God acceptably. Vain religion has always led to vain worship. It did in the days in which our Lord lived upon this earth, and it is still that way today. Now, let us make some application of the principles that we have been concerned about in this text. And I want you to listen. Are you listening? Mouth and ear, heart and lips and mind must be in harmony if one is to worship God acceptably. The lips cannot pray acceptably, and the scripturally worded prayer flows from a heart that responds to the demand for unison. The lips cannot pray a prayer of purity if abomination abides within the heart. Solomon, the wisest of the ages, said in Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Beloved, the tongue cannot sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in real worship to God unless the chords of the vocal music originate within the heart that is richly filled with the Word of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. Sometimes, churches of Christ are accused of singing without an instrument. It is true that we sing without a mechanical instrument, but it is not true that we sing without any kind of instrument. We are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, the Bible says. We are to make melody in the heart, as the Apostle Paul taught the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:19. The heart, not some mechanical device, is that instrument with which we praise God. Paul's actual words found in Ephesians 19 are, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Don't you know that is right? It cannot be wrong. It is so right because that's what God said. But, my friends, do you know what one of the new so-called Bibles does with Ephesians 5:19? The Amplified New Testament greatly errs when they pervert the Word of God by including denominational doctrine and mechanical instrument music in Ephesians 5:19. This perversion reads, and I quote, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, in brackets, and making melody with your heart to the Lord. End the quotation. This is a classic example of putting the creed of denominational teaching in what proposes to be the Bible. My friends, I want to tell you something. You must be careful about some of these books that are called to be the Bible, so-called new translations, when many of them are simply perverted translations or interpretations of the Bible. The fact that the perverted addition of and instruments is set off in brackets in this case does grave injustice and damage to the Word of the Lord, because many people would accept it as the Word of the Lord. An explanation in the beginning of this so-called Bible says, and I am referring to it now, brackets contain justified clarifying words or comments not actually expressed in the immediate original text. End of quotation. The perverted injection of this expression is neither justified nor is it to clarify anything. It is totally unjustified and absolutely confuses the reader. It is false, ladies and gentlemen. It is a perversion of the Word of the Lord. Vain religion, where men may seek to justify their own opinions rather than accepting the Word of God. To worship God according to the doctrines and precepts of men is a most serious matter. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 2:20-22, if ye died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using, after the precepts and doctrines of men. Beloved, what caused the worship of some in the time of Jesus to be vain or empty worship? Why did Jesus write vain over the religious worship and practice of the scribes and Pharisees? Because the foundation of that practice originated in the commandments of men, the traditions of the elders. They made their appeal for religious authority to the wrong source. If pursuing the doctrines of men made their religion vain and their worship empty in the first century, and it did, will it not do the same today? True worship must be dictated by divine authority, the authority of Christ, the Word of God, as Christians did in the first century. Anything that one does in Christian worship today, not authorized in the New Testament, originates in human tradition of the doctrines and commandments of men and is totally lacking of divine authority and heavenly sanction. The Bible warns us about following the doctrines and creeds. Listen, are you listening? Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. And you know, that is right, isn't it?